Let me see you get loose. This is going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What's up, everybody? We're coming to you live today from the Red Ivy Bar in Wrigleyville in Chicago as the Browns and the Bears get ready to put the cap on this preseason, the final preseason game here today. And Matt, we've got our Ohio Business Machine hot topics today. We're going to talk about the game day, what to look for, but what about the Deflategate, Wilhelm? I told you the NFL had no legs to stand on. Judge vacating their order. Goodell looking like a buffoon.
You definitely did. You called it. I texted you right away when I found out this morning, and what a black eye this is for the National Football League, you know, on the owner side, on the league side, and how great it is for me as an NFL player and the NFLPA to really see through this process, and Tom Brady has now been vindicated.
Well, you just look at the ruling that the NFL tried to make, and I said all along I thought that it was ridiculous, a ridiculous level of punishment for the crime, because you're dealing with a situation where a player gets caught with stickum on his gloves and they get an $8,000 fine, and yet they were going to suspend Tom Brady for four games. Their process was laughable, to say the very least. It seemed like a witch hunt, and maybe he did something wrong, maybe he didn't. Maybe it was a huge conspiracy, but there were too many inconsistencies in what they tried to say that he did in terms of, you know, the lying to Chris Mortensen to get the report out that 11 of the 12 balls were under there. I thought it was hilarious how Judge Berman basically mocked the fact that they said that, you know, he knew, he had enough knowledge about it. And it was just, to me, a good day for the players. And, again, a good day for the NFL, because ultimately getting Roger Goodell out of this position where he is arbitrating and letting down, handing down the punishment, is exactly what this league needs.
And I do think this is going to be the, you know, the straw that breaks the camel's back in regards to the power that Roger Goodell has, because
Roger the Dodger.
Since Roger has taken over, you know, Paul Tagliabue was so lenient. And Roger came in, you know, with a mission to make the game safer, to monetize every aspect of the NFL, and really take that place of power when it comes to the National Football League over the players and over the Players Association. And as I always talk about, Nathan, you know, you have guys with big egos, both you know, in the National Football League, and they don't want to feel like a puppet, you know. And in some cases, Roger Goodell, because of the power that he's gotten over the course of the last few years and changing our game and making rule changes, he's become the puppet master. So it's absolute vindication, and you would hope that after this, and the NFL obviously, you know, always looks at itself and tries to make itself better, that they make some changes. And I just really truly hope that the lawyers do get involved, the NFLPA does get involved, and essentially somehow collectively bargains to recreate a system that works for both sides.
They need to, because right now it's broken, and as long as Roger Goodell's in there doing these types of things, it will remain broken as I see it. But it's got to be great news for the NFL now. You've got the Thursday night opener was going to be Ben Roethlisberger against Jimmy Garoppolo, and while we're all curious to see what Jimmy Garoppolo was going to do, now it's Ben Roethlisberger versus Tom Brady. That's the kind of game the NFL wanted to kick off. I'm sure NBC's happy that its ratings are going to go back up with that game. So good stuff all around, and it's, to me, not surprising. The only thing that's sad about this is now the NFL is going to appeal this ruling, and this is going to continue. We're still going to be hearing about the Deflategate, and it's going to be going on. But I thought there were two tweets today that stood out to me being hilarious. Number one, Pac-Man Jones tweeted at the commissioner of the National Football League, Roger Goodell, and just said, LMAO. And the other one was the kicker, Lawrence Tynes, the former Giants kicker, said if the NFL wanted to beat Tom Brady and the Patriots, they should have had the Giants to help.
That's awesome. Well, you know, and Mr. Mara was there, you know, at the hearings involved as well. And like I text you as well, this, it's embarrassing for Roger Goodell. It's embarrassing for the league, because after the announcement came out about the four-game suspension, you know, Jerry Jones spoke up very highly about trusting in the commissioner and thinking this is a fair judgment, as well as the Mara family there with the New York Giants and really standing behind their commissioner, who, you know, they employ to run the league side of the things. And it's a slap in the face to all of them. And I think, as I mentioned, now the next step is, this is going to be go on all season long, but when and how are the changes going to go into place to start whittling some of that power away from Roger Goodell? And then who becomes the next, you know, where does the power struggle come into play? Is it going to be by committee? Because I don't think this dictatorship that we operate under right now with Roger Goodell, it is now, you know, very, very clearly a flawed system for the NFL.
It is. Now we just need to say free Ray Farmer, free Josh Gordon. Let's go. Everybody get after Goodell and do what we can. Hey, at least this helps the Browns a little bit, right? Now you got Tom Brady going against the Steelers in that game as opposed to Garoppolo. So
you know, Rex Ryan's probably not happy.
Yeah, but too bad for Rex Ryan. Somebody send him a foot. He'll be fine.
That's wrong.
Tonight is the finale of the preseason. We're not going to see many of the starters, but as Mike Pettine told me, Matt, on his The Mike Pettine Show on Tuesday night, he said there are four or five roster spots up for grabs. What are you looking forward to, and where do you think those roster spots are going into this game tonight?
What I'm looking for is a professional football team, and that's my one big takeaway out of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game is that we look like a winning football team in the NFL. And I look for that to continue. Now, the reason why I say that, with the starters being out, you're going to say there's going to be a significant drop-off in talent. But I don't believe there should be a significant drop-off in execution, because all of these guys are the understudies of the starters, and in some cases the future of the Cleveland Browns in some form, maybe not this year, next year they get the opportunity to start or contribute even more. So I want to see Flip and Jim O'Neill stay on top of these guys, execute. And what I'd really love is that these guys fighting for an opportunity to make this football team, you know, really go out there and put their best foot forward. And then the guys that we feel as of right now are making this football team are solid contributors in tonight's football game, because that winning culture is something that has deviated this organization for the last 15 years. And I know this is a preseason game, but to take this win, it allows the veterans to laugh and to give some appreciation to some of those younger guys. The younger guys will feel appreciated by the vets and coaches for a winning performance, in some cases solidifying their role in this football team. And then second half of your question, where are those positions going to be? I think defensive line is one of those positions that we've continually talked about all training camp. Who's going to make it? Who's not? Who's going to show out tonight? Wide receiver, you know, if Terrell Pryor is 70-80% and he's going to go out there, how productive is he? Vince Maley, fourth-round draft pick, I'll be watching him attentively. And then the DBs that are actually going to actively participate in tonight's game. I think there's a few guys in that room that could easily solidify a practice squad role, and potentially maybe one of those four or five spots might be a defensive back tonight.
I think what we'll do when we come back after our first break, Matt, we'll go through each position and we'll kind of talk about what to look for tonight if we think a spot's up for grabs at that point, kind of give people at home something to look for, because it's such a strange game. You're not going to see many starters out there. You're going to see mostly backups, but they're guys that are going to be playing for their football lives. So there is some drama in this fourth preseason game. While it's not the most entertaining in terms of seeing the big names under the bright lights, there is some real drama there. And as a former player going through situations like this, what's the mindset for those guys who will play significant minutes, probably for the first time all preseason tonight, knowing that their NFL lives are on the line?
Oh, it's huge. Like I said, some of the guys that are going to be actively participating in a lot of the football game know they're making this 53-man roster because of their body of work, where they're drafted, the money that they're essentially making here with the Cleveland Browns. So they're kind of like a shoo-in. But for those probably maybe 15 to 20 guys that are competing for that four or five spots, it's taking them back into their preparation for maybe it's a bowl game or a rivalry game in college, where they're just oh so focused because so much is on the line. And I truly believe in you talking to Coach Pettine and his demeanor this entire week, he's not discounting this football game. And I think for him as a second-year head coach, he wants to win this football game because it's that solid feeling of putting in the work necessary for those and to have those young players prepared enough to go represent the Cleveland Browns as a franchise and to walk away with solid efforts. And you really hope, if you're head coach Mike Pettine, that it is truly a tough decision. Of those 20 guys, 12 of them have a solid performance tonight, and then you're trying to whittle down 12 into 4. Those are great problems, and problems that winning franchises and winning organizations have throughout the league every year.
Absolutely, and one move that may have surprised some people at the 75 cut down was the release of Phil Taylor. Well, Phil Taylor took a visit yesterday with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have decided they're not going to sign him. Reports out of Pittsburgh being that the Steelers believe that Phil Taylor needs more surgery on that knee, could not possibly help their team anytime soon. So I think it just sheds a little bit more light on what happened there and why the Browns made that move. But it's a bummer. You want to see Phil Taylor, if he can't be with the Browns, you want to see him continue his career. And it sounds like he is still on his way back with that knee injury from the reports coming out of Pittsburgh.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's tough. And I think it's surprising. You know, maybe Cleveland never wanted to make it aware. But, you know, back in March, I'm sure they expected a specific timeline to be held to by the training staff and Phil Taylor to be back by training camp, essentially solidifying their decision to pay him that fifth-year option in his rookie deal, which is, you know, the upwards of $5 million or more. And at this point, it was a question mark. I thought, you got to love the play of Danny Shelton. You got to love the emergence of Jamie Meter. And you feel like the middle of your defense that Phil Taylor was going to be a part of is just as good without him, which is why parting ways with him, with or without the injury, is still a great decision for the franchise.
Well, I think if there wasn't the injury, given that he was due the $5.5 million, and if he was able to play at a high level, I think he'd be here. But given that the injury situation is what it is, they decided that for the 53, they needed a guy that could contribute to this team. And it sounds like the Steelers don't believe Phil Taylor was ready to contribute anytime soon, was the quote coming out of Pittsburgh. And that seems to be kind of the consensus on where he was at. So I wish him the best of luck, and hopefully he can get healthy and get back into the league soon. Otherwise, it's certainly a strong run for Phil Taylor.
Yeah, and you figure... I'm sorry, Nathan, but I just figure, he was active five out of 16 games last year with the same knee injury, and he's coming off that surgery, and you look at a guy like Travis Benjamin who took an additional year to return to form, and you're talking a significant amount of money for a first-round draft pick in Phil Taylor that you just can't wait around when you're trying to win football games.
Oh, and that's what this Browns team certainly is trying to do. Again, we are off and running on Browns Daily live from Red Ivy in Chicago. The Chicago Browns backers are here. Come out. They're giving away two tickets to tonight's game, but you got to be here at the Red Ivy near Wrigley Field to get it done. So come on out and see us. We're broadcasting from here live, local time 12 to 2, obviously 1 to 3 Eastern. And when we come back, we're going to go through each position, tell you what to look for. We're going to have a lot of roundtables today with the staff writers of ClevelandBrowns.com, Andrew Gribble and Mr. Kevin Jones. They're here with us in Chicago. So come on out to the Red Ivy. Come see us as we get ready for the preseason finale. We are a week away from the kickoff of the 2015 NFL season, a game in which Tom Brady will now be playing. Sorry, Raj. Zagur and Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.